Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I've seen over and over again through my own experiences, through the books that I cover on my podcast, the books I've read in my life, if you want to open yourself up for a massive downfall, just let your ego get out of control.
Really?
If you want to let that happen, yeah, let your ego get out of control. So every single day for me, it starts at ground zero. I've got to go forward with an open mind, with a humble mind, looking at the world. You know, it's classic, like when I get asked a question, I don't think to myself, oh, I know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. And I get asked questions all the time.
Yeah.
And generally, when I hear a question, 99% of the questions that I hear, I've heard in some form before.
Sure.
But I don't go, oh, I've heard this before, I already know the answer. I say, okay, well, let me hear this. What detail is this person talking about? What angle is this person coming at it from? What can I learn from this question? How can I assess this question? So everything that I look at, I try and look at from a humble perspective. If you don't do that, it's gonna be a problem. I mean, even when you're asking me questions about God, right? You're asking me questions about my beliefs. It's like, hey, here's my beliefs. I'm humble and I'm listening and my mind is open. And this is what I've seen and this is what I can tell you about it.
Sure,
I'm not sitting here jumping up and down saying you should believe this or you should believe that. I'm saying you should stay humble. You should keep an open mind about what's going on in the world. I am. I think you should do the same thing. And I don't want to get in this whole like morning routine where I go and look in the mirror and say, be humble. No, I don't do that. Like I'm not, that's not me. Right. But when, you know, you wake up and I'm just saying that the way I go about my business and my life is to say to myself, okay, well, I could be wrong about that. Mm. I could be wrong about this. You know, I mean, even the book that I wrote, Follow On to Extreme Ownership, the book is called The Dichotomy of Leadership. And what's interesting about this book, so the dichotomy of leadership is like, you can't be extreme in one direction or the other, right? If you're in a leadership position, you can't talk all the time, right? Obviously, as a boss, you need to communicate, you need to talk to your people. But if you talk too much, guess what happens? People stop listening to you. You're putting out too much information. They don't know what's important and what's not. So that's bad. You can't go too far in that direction. The other direction is you can't not talk enough, and now no one knows what's going on. No one knows what's happening. So you have to be balanced, and that's the whole idea of the dichotomy of leadership. But probably the first dichotomy in leadership that I had to say to myself, you know what, there's another side to this, is I used to tell the young SEAL officers that you have to be aggressive. You got to be default aggressive. That's how you got to be. Mm. Because when something's going on, you got to be aggressive to get that problem solved.
Right.
And if you're not being aggressive, then you're hesitating. Well, then you can get killed. Okay, so there you go. And that's what I used to tell guys. So the question is, can you be too aggressive?
Yes.
Absolutely. You can, hey, there's a machine gun nest over there. Let's attack it. So you charge up the hill and everyone dies.
Yeah.
You've been too aggressive. So what you have to do is you have to be balanced. And that's probably, so even as I had these kind of mantras, like default aggressive, can you do too much of that? Yes, you can. Can you be too passive?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, now we're not making any progress. Now we're getting crushed by the enemy because we didn't maneuver. Okay, so that's bad. So where do you want to be? You want to be balanced. Even the idea of extreme ownership. Can you take too much ownership?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Really?
Yes, you can.
But I thought you said you need to take ownership of everything.
Two different things. Listen to this. Okay. If you're working for me and I say, okay, here's the mission that I want you to accomplish tonight. Here's the people I want you to take. Here's the weapons I want you to bring. Here's the vehicles I want you to bring. Here's the route I want you to use to get to the target. Here's the method I want you to use to secure the target. Here's the route I want you to do to get back.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. Now you take ownership and go execute. Now, can you really take ownership of that plan?
If someone else gave you the whole thing?
I mean, I gave you the whole thing, right? Is that your plan?
No.
No,
it's your plan, yeah.
It's my plan. So when you go in the field and now you come up against an obstacle and you're executing my plan, what's your attitude?
Well, it's not my plan. It's
his plan. And you're at an obstacle now and you're like, hey, Jocko didn't think of this.
Right.
So his plan's
horrible. Yeah,
yeah. So now you just back away and you come back and you say, hey, we failed the mission because you didn't think of this.
You didn't think of this option. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So that's me taking too much ownership. So what I need to do is I say, hey, here's the plan or here's the mission. How do you want to do it?
Mm.
And now if you're a good leader, you'll go get with your people and you'll say, oh, hey guys, here's the plan. Or here's the mission that we have to accomplish. How do you guys want to do it? Now you all come up with a good plan and you come back to me and you say, here's the plan. And I say, that looks pretty good. Go execute. And now when you hit an obstacle in the field, what's your attitude?
I need to adapt. I need to adjust.
Yeah, what's your plan? Yeah, yeah. You'll make it
win. Came up with this. Yeah.
Yes. So can you take too much ownership? The answer is yes, you can. So with just about every, you can name a trait, right? You can name a trait from a leadership perspective that you think is a positive trait. And you'll immediately see that if you go too far with it, it'll become bad. It'll become bad. So you have to be balanced. So even as I came up with the dichotomy of leadership, I had to be humble enough to say to myself, you know what? Being aggressive is really, really good most of the time. But if you're too aggressive, that's not good.
Yeah.
So like you said earlier, you're constantly questioning everything. And to me, what that is, that's humility. That's you being humble enough to say, you know what? I really don't understand this that well.
Yeah.
And there's some things in my life that I don't get. Whereas opposed to you walking around saying, I already got this figured out. Yeah. I already know what I'm doing. I already know where I'm going. I already know what God is specifically. I already know what's going to happen to me when I die. All those things. But instead you're questioning everything, which in my mind is a positive thing. You'd be surprised about how many leaders are thinking that because they're in a leadership position, they should be talking all the time. Mm. Wrong answer. I'll sit through a meeting with a client or with one of my companies and I'll listen for 38 minutes. And at the end of those 38 minutes, I'll have already thought through every discussion that's been had. You know, you want to argue with him and he's arguing with her. And guess what? I get to sit there and assess those arguments and see which one is the most important. Meanwhile, you're expending all your ammunition. She's expending all her ammunition. He's given up everything he's got. I'm learning all their thought patterns. I'm learning the pros and cons of each one of their arguments. And I do that for 38 minutes. And in the 39th minute, I say, hey, here's what I think we should do. And guess what? Because I've done an accurate assessment and listened, I'm actually going to be able to make the best decision.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I was smarter. It wasn't because I had better tactical understanding. It's because I actually shut my mouth, listened to everyone spill their guts, learned everything that they knew, and did a good detached assessment of what the right thing to do was. So listen, and the other one is the word that I just used, which is detach, which is not getting emotional, not getting into the weeds about stuff that doesn't matter. If you can take a step back and look around, you're gonna see infinitely more than you can when you're in the weeds, staring the firefight in the face, looking down the sights of your weapon shooting. If you're doing that, you can't see anything else. Just think about that metaphor right there.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm looking down the sights of my weapon and I'm shooting, my world is this big. The minute that I stop shooting, point my weapon at high port, take a step back and actually look around, I can see infinitely more. So apply that to a meeting. It's just a meeting that we just talked about,
yeah.
A 38 minute meeting. All this chaos is happening. Sure, I'm the boss. I could jump in there and start arguing and giving my opinion. But what am I really doing then? What I'm really doing then is I'm in the weeds and I'm not able to assess what is actually happening. So there you apply it there to your personal life. If you and I are arguing, you're my friend and you did something and now we're starting to escalate an argument and I'm starting to get emotional. Am I able to listen to you anymore? Am I able to logically figure out what's going on? If I'm talking to my wife and she did something that made me mad and now I'm starting to raise my voice, is that whole situation going in the right direction?
No.
No, it's not. It's not. So what I need to do is take a step back, detach, calm down, listen to what she's saying, and then try and assemble a logical thing to say back without saying, you need to calm down or you're too emotional. No. Because if you come to me and you're mad about something You come to me, whether it's my wife or whether you're a business partner, you come to me and you say, the supply department didn't give me the stuff I needed. If I say, hey, calm down, right? If that's my reaction, then you realize that I'm against you, right? I don't get it. And so now it's me and the supply department against you.
No one understands.
No one understands. So I do a little technique.
What is that? Yeah.
I call it reflect and diminish. So I'm going to reflect your emotions back to you, but I'm going to diminish them a little bit so that we're not escalating the situation. Well, if you come to me and you go, the supply department's been late. They're 2 weeks late on this stuff. I don't say, calm down. I say, oh, you got to be kidding me. 2 weeks? And you go, yeah, can you believe it? Ah, that's horrible. We got to put a solution. We got to get that figured out. In the meantime, what do we need to do right now to get the problem solved, right? So now we're on the same team so we can work together to find a solution.
We bonded on the pain.
Yes, yes.
You felt the pain.
Yes, we're on the same team. Yeah. Okay, my wife, what's going to make my wife mad? The ice machine's not working. If I go, hey,
chill out.
You have a refrigerator and a house and you have plenty of things, you just calm down, right? How's that going to go? It's not going to go good. Now she's going to get mad. Now it's me against her. You know. So instead, the ice machine's not working. Ah, man, that thing is junk. Have you called the repair guy? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, we're on the same team. And she's like, well, no, I haven't, but I'm about to. Okay, cool. As opposed to the ice machine's not working. Well, okay, you want me to have ice shipped in from Alaska there, princess? Right? That's not going to go over well. If you're attacking my ego, immediately, as soon as I feel frustrated, angry, defensive, all three of those things are red flags to me that's my ego.
Okay.
I immediately know. I go, when I feel my bristling,
like you want
to, yeah, when I feel that, I know I guarantee it's 99% it's just my ego that I'm mad.
So what do you do in that moment?
I immediately go, oh, that's your ego, you idiot. Listen to what he's got to say. Let's win. Let's win. So how do I win? Do I win by attacking you? No, I don't win by attacking.
If you're the only winner, you both lose.
Yes. So when you attack me,
you both need to win.
And you say, whatever your attack is, you say, this is your fault. I go, you know what? Absolutely. This is my fault. Here's the mistake that I made. And I know it affected you in a negative way. Here's the things that I'm working on right now to remedy it. Wow. What are you going to do? Are you going to yell at me more? Are you going to tell me it's my fault again? You know, I get this. This is another question I get when it's sort of like similar to what you said earlier. When you said, yeah, but what if it's not really your fault, right? The other one I get a lot is if you say, hey, listen, Lewis, this is my fault that this happened. You go, you're right, it is your fault. And then people say, what do I do then? What do I do then? If the person's blaming me, how do I take ownership then? And I'm like, that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
Right.
The whole point of taking ownership is when you look at me and you point your finger and you say, this is all your fault. I say, yes, I know, that's what I just said. This is absolutely my fault. I'm the one that's in charge, and these are the things that I'm gonna do to fix it. That's where we're gonna start.
Wow.
So when someone blames you, yes, take ownership. Now, if you have in the back of your mind, like you did earlier, like, hey, maybe this isn't really my fault.
Yeah.
Like, if you have that in the back of your mind, you're actually wrong.
Wow.
You're actually wrong. You're in charge. And that applies to your life as well. How you know, you got to take ownership of what's going on in your life. When you're not where you want to be and you say it's because the boss doesn't like you or it's because the girl treated you this way or the guy did this, like all those things, you got to take ownership of them.
Yeah.
And if you're blaming all these other external things, you're not going to make any changes.